Good morning. A few, two brief announcements. That is, first, that in the coming weeks, we'll have a new worship opportunity for you. We will be continuing with this service here in the sanctuary at 9 a.m. and also streaming online. But beginning on June 20th at 11 a.m., we will be having and open doors service. That is an covered space with large doors that'll be open outside at a garden owned by one of our congregants that's in Springfield. So that'll be at 11 a.m. beginning on June 20th. But again, we will continue with this service as we are. So that we'll get more information coming on that in the coming weeks, but just so that you're aware of that. Second is next week, June 6th, at noon is our semi-annual congregational meeting, and that will be on Zoom. And really want to encourage all members to attend. We'll be dealing with some different business matters there, and really want to hear your voices. So again, that'll be next week at noon for our semi-annual meeting, and that'll be on Zoom. You'll be getting a notice there this week on the Zoom link to be able to log into that. All right, now today is Holy Trinity Sunday, where we reflect on who God is for us in our lives. Now let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship with our thanksgiving for baptism. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, Triune God, Creator, Savior, and Advocate, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. At Pentecost, your Spirit descended upon all, enacting your new creation. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Empowered by the gift of your Spirit, send us to engage the ever-changing world in new ways and in difficult situations. To you, Triune God, be given honor and praise through our Savior, Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Let us pray. Almighty Creator and ever-living God, we worship your glory, eternal three in one, and we praise your power, majestic one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith. Defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
She anoints my head with oil.
Our second reading comes from Romans chapter 8. Brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to John, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to Jesus, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with those who are born of the spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Would you join your hearts with me in prayer? Draw us into your dance, Triune God. And help us to experience more fully what it is to have our hearts beat with the rhythm of your heart and our bodies flow gracefully into the movement of your leading. And now, O God, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, and the living of our lives be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Olly, olly, oxen, free, free, free. I bet you've never heard those words said from this pulpit. In case you don't know what those words mean, that phrase, some speculate that it comes from the German phrase, alle, alle, ach, sind free, which loosely translated means everyone is also free. Others think the words may have originated with the old English phrase, all ye, outs, all, outs in free. All ye, outs in free. Which loosely translated also means everybody that's on the outside is brought in. Either way, we kids knew what it meant when we heard someone shout, all ye, oxen, free, free, free. Dumont Avenue in the 1960s and 70s, when I was growing up, was a mostly blue-collar neighborhood made up of modest tract homes built in the early 1950s. Each one had a very large family, or usually was occupied by an expanding family. Ours was four children. Many of others were four or five. And in the late afternoons and early evenings, we kids would often gather on the Garza's lawn to play hide-and-go-seek. We'd take turns being the seeker while everyone else ran and hid until they were found by the seeker or until the seeker gave up and yelled, "Olly, olly, oxen, free, free, free." That was the signal for those of us who had not yet been found to regroup for another round. Memories of those childhood games of hide-and-go-seek remind me of the story of Nicodemus, who went in search of Jesus. Here was Nicodemus, a Pharisee and a religious leader, and he came to Jesus by night, a seeker wanting to find out who this Jesus truly is. By his own admission, Nicodemus knew with certainty that no one could do the signs that Jesus was doing apart from the presence of God. So what exactly was he expecting to find? A great teacher? A prophet? A holy man of God? I'm not even sure Nicodemus knew what he was expecting to find. Yet in the darkness of night, something drew him to the light, to Jesus, who is the true light, who had come into the world. Over the years, I've wondered how many people have come to churches like ours seeking an encounter with the Holy of Holies, perhaps hoping for a glimpse into the sheer mystery of the Trinity, and not even knowing what they were searching for or for whom they were seeking. And when they've come, I wonder if they've found what they were looking for, if they've found what they were seeking, or whom they were seeking. Or perhaps some have entered into a holy space like this with a deep, deep longing to be found by the ultimate of seekers. And if so, have they left with a sense that indeed they have been found by the one who continuously searches for us until all are free and no one is left out? The latest Pew Research Center findings suggest that the Christian share of the U.S. population is declining. This will come as no surprise. The number of adults in the U.S. who don't identify with any organized religion is growing. Moreover, they note, these changes are taking place across the religious landscape, affecting all regions of the country and many demographic groups. According to their data, while the drop in Christian affiliation is particularly pronounced among young adults, it's occurring among Americans of all ages. Furthermore, the same trends are seen among whites, blacks, and Latinos, among both college-educated adults and adults with only a high school education, and among women as well as men. Bottom line, we've heard it over and over and over again, mainline Christianity is in decline. And just this past week, on three different occasions, a person has expressed concern to me about whether I think the people will return to Central when this pandemic is finally in our rearview mirror. They've even wondered out loud whether live streaming worship has made it too comfortable, too easy for people to stay home. Scary? Alarming? Disconcerting? Depends on who you ask. Because if you ask me, I think this pandemic has opened our eyes to the need for community, for a deeper and more authentic relationship with God and with one another. I also know and believe that live streaming this service has proved to be a real gift to those of us who are worshiping from home and even from out of the Eugene, Springfield area. This is a way that they're brought in, and you are welcome here. We are glad that you're worshiping with us from home. But people wonder. They wonder about the decline of mainstream Christianity. I hear colleagues talk about the decline in the Lutheran Church. The ELCA sends messages about how the church is dying. I don't think that's something we need to worry about. I think actually that this has the potential for moving us into an ever increasing awareness of the mystery of the Holy Trinity, the three distinct yet equal persons of the Godhead. And I think that these shifts that we're seeing in the culture, what some call cultural Christianity, may in fact lead us to expand our outreach, evangelism, to the unchurched, to people without faith, and that it may lead us to an even greater desire on the part of seekers to come looking for the holy, to be in the presence of the Holy of Holies. Because I happen to think seekers have a deep desire for the hidden to be revealed and to be in the presence, in sacred space, of what we call the triune God, the Holy Trinity. And furthermore, I think the Holy Trinity is waiting to be found just as Jesus was waiting for Nicodemus to come searching for him. Imagine what might happen to faith communities like ours if suddenly there was an intentional move on our part towards the other, for a richer, fuller experience of the triune God, creator of all, redeemer of the living and the dead, spirit set loose in this world God so loves. We might just find ourselves in the middle of another reformation, a reformation, a reforming, a reorienting toward the Holy of Holies, a people reborn of water and spirit, joining the dance of the Trinity, the dance that started long before the world began. As we who profess our faith in the triune God, as we enter more fully into the dance of Trinity, we too will come to experience the joyful rhythms of hearts beating together as one, each movement bringing us ever closer into God's own heart. A heart which longs to invite others to join in the dance. A dance that includes those who already know the moves, those who may have forgotten some of the steps along the way, and those who may have never even known the dance existed. As together we experience the rhythm of the Trinity, creating space, redeeming flaws, breathing new life into us. And as that rhythm extends in invitation to people we have yet to meet, some of whom are yet unborn, as we take our lead from the Holy Trinity and enter into this dance in careful step with one another, as we enter into the graceful and grace-filled movements, we can trust this dance will go on and on and on until all who were once in hiding are able to hear the Holy Trinity calling, "Ali, Ali, oxen, free, free, free." Free to be all that God created us to be. Free from guilt and shame that Jesus came to redeem. Free to live in this world where the wind-blown spirit makes known God's presence here and now. Imagine that great and glorious day when all who are huddled in secret hiding, all who in fear are dwelling in the darkness of night, imagine the day when all come running from hither and yon straight into the outstretched arms of the Holy of Holies, the one who was, who is, and who will always be, the one who is the seeker of the lost and the finder of the hidden. So come. Come, those of you who are worshiping from home, those of you who are sitting here in the pews, come join the dance of Trinity, leaving ample space for others to join with us in this dance and with our God, who has chosen not to condemn the world, but rather to save it. Amen.
Now, with the whole church, let us profess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us come before the triune God in prayer. God of new life, we pray for your holy church around the world. Revitalize and renew us, that we may be born from above through the waters of baptism and the blowing wind of your Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all things, we give you thanks for your power revealed to us in creation, for cedar and oak trees, for rushing waters, for the echoes of thunder. Guide us in the preservation rather than the destruction of your bountiful world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of justice and mercy, we pray for the nations and our leaders, that led by your Spirit, they work towards a world where all of your children enjoy peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God who is with us, we pray for this worshiping community, that the splendor of your majesty and the holiness of your mystery may be glorified through our worship and our relationships with one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of compassion, we pray for healing for all of those who suffer, victims and survivors of trauma or violence, those who are ailing in mind or body in need of relief and renewal. We pray especially today for Ed Anderson, Betsy Berg, Nicole Christie, George Hansen, Alona Johnson, Joy Lathrop, Jeff Seamus, Sean Wagner, and Roger White. And now let us take a moment of silence as we pray for those on our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God who is everlasting, we give you thanks for those who have died in the faith and the witness of their lives to us. We pray for comfort for all of us who grieve their loss. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your abiding grace. Amen. And may the peace of Christ be with you always.
it is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. You have revealed your glory as the glory also of your Son and the Holy Spirit, three persons equal in majesty, undivided in splendor, yet one Lord, one God, ever to be adored in your everlasting glory. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent to us your Son Jesus, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and then gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God, and they are given freely to us, the people of God. Body of Christ given for you. Take and eat. The blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy, you would strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.